This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. The copyright for this article belongs to the authors and is openly released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 18, Number 7, November 2017. The title of this article is Does Successful Use of Digital Learning Materials Predict Teachers' Intention to Use Them Again in the Future? The authors of this article are Carol Kriegens, Marjan Vermeulen, Hans van Buren, and Frederik van Acker of the Open University of the Netherlands. Abstract. Do perceptions of success in using digital learning materials regularly strengthen teachers' behavioral intentions to use DLMs again? And which psychological factors have a relationship with the intention to use DLMs again? These questions are important in light of stimulating teachers' use of DLMs. To answer this question, teacher flows were analyzed using crosstabs and multinomial logistic regression. These flows visualize how teachers go from a certain degree of perceived success to a certain strength of behavioral intention. Second, Hayes process method and structured equation modeling techniques were applied to determine the mediating role of attitude, perceived norm, and perceived behavioral control of perceived success on the behavioral intention. The results suggested that the teacher's strength in behavioral intention was in accordance with their perceived success for the case that their self-prediction was positive, but that this strength became weaker when teacher's self-prediction was negative. Attitude and perceived norm mediated the effects only when self-prediction was positive, whereas perceived behavior control did this in both cases. Also, there was a direct effect between perceived success and behavioral intention. It is important that teachers get a chance to experience success with the use of DLMs, enabled either by school leaders or by teacher training institutions. Only then we will see teachers' willingness to use DLMs on a regular basis to grow. Keywords: self-prediction to use digital learning materials, teachers' use of digital learning materials, willingness to use digital learning materials. Introduction: The WikiWidges initiative launched by the Dutch Ministry of Education, Culture and Science in 2009 aimed to encourage teachers' use of digital learning materials in their educational practices. Previous experience with information and communication tools showed that, although the availability of ICT tools in most schools has increased significantly in recent years, this has not led to more use of these tools. Furthermore, ICT is still not part of everyday teaching routines in most schools, despite the recognition on many levels of its importance for learning in the 21st century. In addition, these outcomes are cause for worry for education as well as science. Researchers who want to investigate the effects of the use of DLMs in relation to learning outcomes of students or other related topics only investigate a specific group of teachers. After all, almost all teachers must integrate ICT in their daily teaching practices before valid results can be reported. The research question addressed was whether perceptions of successful use of DLMs would strengthen teachers' behavioral intentions to use DLMs again during classes on a regular basis, that is, several times a week in the coming school year. Indeed, previous research has shown that perceived success of past behavior is an important predictor of performing the same behavior in the future, provided that all conditions have remained the same. In our study, we specifically focused on the effect of perceived success of using DLMs regularly during classes in the past school year and whether this perceived success would correspond with the strength of teachers' behavioral intention to regularly use DLMs during classes in the coming school year. In addition, we also wanted to see whether teachers who reported to have had no plans at all to use DLMs during classes now have developed the intention to do so on a regular basis. In this article, we first elaborate on the reasoned action approach of Fishbein and Adjson, as this was the framework we used throughout our study. We proceed by discussing two analytical methods that were applied in our study. And finally, the results, discussion, and conclusion are presented. Theoretical framework. For answering the research question, whether perceived success is affecting teachers' behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year, the reasoned action approach of Fishbein and Adjson was used. The central variable in RAA is the behavioral intention that reflects the willingness to show a particular desired behavior. In our study, The behavioral intention is the regular use of DLMs by teachers in their lessons in the coming year. Fishbein and Ajzen indicated that the behavioral intention is a predictor of the actual behavior. However, the relationship between behavioral intention and actual behavior is not perfect. Two groups of factors moderate this relationship between behavioral intention and actual behavior. The first group is formed by individual factors and the second group is formed by the environmental factors that may prevent the behavior to be performed. The two groups of factors are summarized as actual behavioral control in RAA. Actual behavioral control is the counterpart of perceived behavioral control, which is a direct determinant of behavioral intention. Perceived behavioral control is the belief that the behavior can be performed because one trusts in her or his own capacity to do so. This conviction is based in one's belief of possessing the necessary knowledge and skills and the belief that one can exert sufficient control to cope with unexpected problems. Fishbein and Ajzen designated these beliefs as the capacity and autonomy dimension, respectively, of perceived behavioral control. As the gap is narrowing between perceived behavioral control and actual behavioral control, the relationship between behavioral intention and actual behavior becomes stronger. Next to perceived behavioral control, attitude and perceived norm are the other two direct determinants of behavioral intention. Attitude is the extent to which one takes a favorable or unfavorable position in relation to the desired behavior. In other words, teachers may have formed a more or less favorable position over the regular use of DLMs in the classroom. Perceived norm is to be regarded as the pressure exerted by the social environment to exhibit certain behavior. This social pressure is the result of the belief that significant others may have certain opinions on whether or not to perform a particular behavior. As the perceived norm becomes stronger, whilst attitude and perceived behavioral control remain constant, the more likely it will be that the behavioral intention also gets stronger. In other words, when a school leader sets the norm of regular using of DLMs in class, this will contribute quite strongly to the perceived social pressure and thus to the behavioral intention to actually do this. Figure 1 shows the RAA model. In this figure, the gray areas indicate the variables involved in this study. Although not indicated in the figure, with use of DLMs is meant the regular use of DLMs, that is, several times a week in the coming school year. Figure 1. The reasoned action approach applied to teachers' use of DLMs. Figure 1 also shows that attitude, perceived norm, and perceived behavioral control are in turn formed by successively outcome expectations and their evaluations. Normative beliefs and motivation to comply and control beliefs regarding the performance of the behavior. As the current study does not consider these beliefs, we do not describe them here. All the variables so far are usually designated as proximal variables, as they are the closest variables that can influence the behavioral intention to perform or not to perform a certain behavior. In contrast to the proximal variables, distal variables are variables that influence the behavioral intention in an indirect way, that is, via the proximal variables. Distal variables exercise their influence at the individual level, the school level, or at the task level. In our study, the only distal variable we considered was perceived success of actual using DLMs regularly in the past school year, which is a variable at the individual level. Perceived success is measured in the eyes of the teacher. In other words, teachers' overall assessment of their own success in using actual DLMs. Perceived success may vary from teacher to teacher. Generally, perceived success of previously performed behavior affects the three proximal variables in the following ways. Attitude. Outcome expectations proved to be true or false and their evaluations may be positively or negatively changed through the experience. For instance, teachers may have experienced that using DLMs in the lessons made these classes more interesting and the students more enthusiastic. At the same time, the teacher may have also experienced that the extra time invested in lesson preparation was not as high as expected. Perceived norm. Experiences may strengthen or weaken motivation to comply with the normative beliefs of significant others. For instance, teachers may become more motivated to comply with the opinion of the school director that teachers should use DLMs regularly for a number of reasons, possibly for the same reasons that may have changed the teacher's attitude. If teachers experienced that using DLMs made classes more interesting and that the extra preparation time was acceptable, teachers may find it less of a problem to satisfy the school director's opinion as the use of DLMs regularly may become something they would do anyway. Perceived behavioral control. The behavior could be demonstrated to be carried out, or not, in problematic circumstances. The teacher noted that problems occurred less frequently than was initially thought and that the problems were dissolved more easily than expected. Therefore, in this study we expected that the effect of perceived success in using DLMs on behavioral intention is mediated by attitude, perceived norm, and perceived behavioral control. Research question and hypotheses. The main research question was formulated as follows. Do perceptions of success in using of DLMs regularly during classes in the past year strengthen teachers' behavioral intentions to use DLMs again on the same regular basis in the coming year? From this research question the following hypotheses were derived. H1. A teachers who were successful to very successful in using DLMs regularly during classes in the past year will have a strong intention to use DLMs again on a regular basis. H1b. Teachers who had no to moderate success in using DLMs regularly during classes in the past year will have a no to a weak intention or a moderate intention to use DLMs again on a regular basis. H1c. Teachers who had no intention at all to use DLMs regularly during classes in the past year will have a no to a weak intention to use DLMs on a regular basis. H2. Of the influence of perceived success on the behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly during classes in the coming year is mediated by the attitude to do so. H2b. The influence of perceived success on the behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly during classes in the coming year is mediated by the perceived norm to do so. H2c. The influence of perceived success on the behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly during classes in the coming year is mediated by the perceived behavioral control to do so. To test these hypotheses, the variable self-prediction to actually exhibit the desired behavior was used in the study. Self-prediction was used as a discriminatory factor in the population to distinguish the group of teachers that predict that they are going to use DLMs on a regular basis from the group of teachers that predict that they are not going to use DLMs on a regular basis. It is important that self-prediction should not be confused with behavioral intention. Armitage and Connor indicated that there is a conceptual difference between behavioral intentions and self-prediction. There is a difference between what a person's intention is to do and what someone actually thinks she or he is going to do. They argued this reasoning as follows. Elf predictions should provide better predictions of behavior as they are likely to include a consideration of those factors which may facilitate or inhibit performance of a behavior, as well as a consideration of the likely choice of other competing behaviors. Shepherd et al.'s meta-analysis supported this view. Measures of self-predictions were found to have stronger relationships with behavior than did behavioral intentions. Although attitude and subjective norm accounted for more of the variance in intentions than self-predictions, self-prediction is usually measured by items such as how likely is it that you are going to perform behavior X, and behavioral intentions by items such as do you plan to perform behavior X. Method. Participants. A large number of teachers from all levels of the Dutch education have completed an online questionnaire administered by TNS Nipo in the spring of 2012. Table 1 displays the distribution of teachers to the variables school sector, gender, and age. Table 1. Teachers distributed over school sector, gender, and age. Measuring instruments. The questionnaire consisted of a number of measuring instruments in order to investigate the various aspects related to teachers' intended use of DLMs as no standard validated measurement instrument for each of the variables was available. The researchers constructed measurement instruments for all the variables according to the instructions and guidelines of Fishbein and Acheson. Self-prediction for the regular use of DLMs during classes was measured with one item. Do you think that you will use digital learning materials in your lessons lectures on a regular basis in the coming year? Only a yes or no answer could be given on this question. Perceived success was also measured with one item. To what extent were you actually successful in your intentions to use digital learning materials in your lessons lectures on a regular basis in the past year? A 7-point Likert scale was used with answer categories. 1 equals completely unsuccessful to 7 equals completely successful. If teachers did not intend to use DLMs in the past year, they had the option to answer I had no intention to use digital learning materials. The behavioral intention was measured using 4 items. All items of behavioral intention used a 7-point Likert scale with answer categories. 1 equals absolutely disagree to 7 equals strongly agree. The 4 items were in line with the standard items that are commonly used to measure behavioral intention and they were also recommended by Fishbein and Acheson. Attitude was not directly measured in this study. Instead, a proxy for attitude was used. Teachers who predicted to regularly use DLMs during classes in the coming year could indicate from a structured list of 22 items regarding the potential benefits of DLMs usage which item was applicable to them. These benefits addressed things like DLMs provide clearer lessons, give more insight, and work better. Similarly, teachers who predict not to regularly use DLMs during classes in the coming year could indicate which item was applicable to them from a structured list of 21 items regarding the potential disadvantages of DLMs usage. These disadvantages included no added value, not necessary, and not useful. The number of advantages and the number of disadvantages that teachers consider to be applicable to them were used to calculate a rating for attitude. Perceived norm is measured by one item. All things considered, to what extent do you experience social pressure of your school leader, team leaders, colleagues, parents, and so on to regularly use digital learning materials during classes in the coming year? A 7-point Likert scale was used. The response categories were 1 equals absolutely no pressure to 7 equals extraordinary pressure. Finally, perceived behavioral control was measured with 13 items on two dimensions, capacity and autonomy. The capacity dimension comprised 6 items. The autonomy dimension consisted of 7 items. All perceived behavior control items used a 7-point Likert scale with answer categories 1 equals absolutely disagree to 7 equals strongly agree. Analysis. Table 2 list for each variable the mean and standard deviation as well as the correlations between these variables. Table 2. Descriptive data of the used variables. To test the hypotheses, 2 analytical methods were applied. The first analytical method used cross-tabs multinomial logistic regression for analyzing teachers' flows, that is, the relationship between teachers 1, who had perceived some degree of success of actual using DLMs regularly during classes in the past year or 2, who had no intention at all in the past year to use DLMs, and how they flow into 3 ordered categories of different strengths of the behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year. To this end, we constructed a category of teachers who were not to moderate successful of actual using DLMs and another category of those who were successful to very successful of this. Teachers who had no intention at all of using DLMs formed a third category. The 3 ordered categories of different strengths of the behavioral intention were respectively no to weak intention, moderate intention, and strong intention. All categories were constructed by recoding the original data. The second analytical method used the process method of Hayes and SEM techniques to analyze the influence of perceived success in the past year on the behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly again in the coming year. It was investigated whether perceived success indirectly affected and/or directly affected behavioral intention. Past research suggests that there could be a direct effect. It is noted that the teachers who have had no intention at all to use DLMs in the past school year could not be included in this analysis. This latter implied that for both of the 2 analytical methods, a distinction has to be made in the population of teachers who predicted that they will use DLMs regularly during classes, and the population of teachers who predicted that they will not use DLMs. First analytical method. As pointed out above, we have constructed 3 categories of teachers based on their previous success in the past year and on the fact that they had no intention at all to use DLMs. The category had no intention consisted of teachers who had indicated having no intention at all to use DLMs in the past year, equals 152. The category not to moderate success consisted of teachers who had scored a 1 to 5 equals 783. The category successful to very successful included teachers who had scored a 6 or a 7, equals 652. We also constructed 3 categories for the behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year. The category no to weak intentions included the scores between 1 and 4.3. The number of teachers who fell into this category was referred to as NI. The category moderate intentions included the scores between 4.4 and 5.75. The number of teachers who fell into this category was referred to as NI. The category strong intentions included the scores between 5.8 and 7. The number of teachers who fell into this category was referred to as NI. Depending on the unit of analysis and the analysis techniques used, different teacher flows could be determined. For the analyses, both the individual teacher and the teacher group as UOA was used. When the individual teacher was the UOA, multinomial logistic regression was used, and when the teacher group was the UOA, crosstabs was used. The resulting teacher flows are reported in Table 3. From this figure, and for the case of a positive self-prediction, We clearly see that the teachers' flows using crosstabs were above expectations except for the group teachers who were successful or very successful. The group teachers who initially had no intention to use DLMs showed a moderate intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year, whilst it was expected that this group would have a no to weak intention. The group of teachers who had no or moderate success showed a strong behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year, whilst it was expected that this group would have a no to weak intention or a moderate intention. For the case of a negative self-prediction, all teacher flows were according to our expectation. For the individual teacher as the UOA, multinomial logistic regression in SPSS version 20 was performed to study the influence of perceived success and whether or not the teacher predicted to use DLMs regularly during classes in the coming year on teacher's behavioral intention to have a no to weak, moderate, or strong behavioral intention. Self-prediction to use DLMs regularly in the coming year was a covariate categorical variable. The full model was statistically significant. Greek letter chi 2 equals 752.50, p.001. In other words, the model was capable to significantly distinguish teachers who expressed having a no to weak, moderate, or strong behavioral intention from each other on the basis of perceived success and self-prediction with a statistically explained variance of about 0.40. Table 3. Overview of teachers' flows. To gain more insight, Figure 2a and Figure 2b were constructed to visualize the teachers' flows. Figure 2a. Teachers' flows for the population of teachers who predicted that they will use DLMs regularly during classes. Figure 2b. Teachers' flows for the population of teachers who predicted that they will not use DLMs regularly during classes. From the teacher population who predicted that they will use DLMs regularly during classes in the coming year, the majority of teachers in each category proved, as was expected, to flow into the corresponding categories. However, other flows were, as was not expected, also be possible. For example, it was surprising that from this population of teachers, some of the teachers who fell in the category successful to very successful flowed into the category moderate intention and into the category no to weak intention. Likewise, it was surprising that teachers who fell in the category had no intention and, thus, had no experience of success in using DLMs whatsoever nevertheless decided to express a strong intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year. In line with our expectations, from the teacher population who predicted that they will not use DLMs regularly during classes in the coming year, the majority of teachers in each category developed a corresponding no to weak intention or a moderate intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year. But here too there were unexpected flows. Teachers who were successful to very successful surprisingly flowed into the category no to weak intention. The reasons for all of these unexpected flows were further explored in the next analyses. Second analytical method to determine the direct and indirect effects of success on the behavioral intention. We followed the Hayes process method and used the associated process macro package SPSS. In this analysis, the original categories for previous success and behavioral intention, and not the three constructed categories from the first analytical method, were used. Consequently, the population of teachers who had no intention to use DLMs regularly in the past year equals 152, were not included in the analysis. This exclusion affected the composition of the sample. For the sake of completeness, the following tables give the background data of the remaining n equals 1,587, 152 equals 1,435 displayed. Comparison of the two tables with the backgrounds of the teacher shows hardly any differences in values and standard deviations. However, the average age is slightly higher in the smaller sample. Table 4. Teachers distributed over school sector, gender, and age. As can be seen in Table 5, the values for the mean, standard deviation of the variables, the correlation between the variables, and Cronbach's alpha values for internal consistency proved to be of minimal difference between the samples. Table 5. Descriptive data of the used variables. The Hayes process method for mediation tests the following four relationships: whether there is a significant direct relationship between the mediator and the dependent variable, whether there is a significant direct relationship between the independent variable and the mediator, whether there is a significant indirect effect of the independent variable on the dependent variable via the mediator, whether the direct effect of the independent variable on the dependent variable remains significant after controlling for the mediation effect. The analysis was performed twice. for the population of teachers who predicted that they will use DLMs regularly during classes in the coming year and for the population of teachers who predicted to not do so. Figure 3a. Results of the mediation analysis of the model for the case that self-prediction equals yes. The displayed path coefficients are significant at p.001 level. Non-significant paths are shown gray in the figure. Thick black lines reflect the indirect effect of the distal variable via the three mediators. Figure 3b. Results of the mediation analysis of the model for the case that self-prediction equals no. The displayed path coefficients are significant at p.001 level. Non-significant paths are shown gray in the figure. Thick black lines reflect the indirect effect of the distal variable via the three mediators. Table 6. Tests for determining the significance of the indirect effects of the independent variable success. B indicates the strength of the indirect effect. To determine the fit of the two models in Figure 3a and Figure 3b, structural equation modeling was used with AMOS 5. Fit indices showed a reasonable fit of the models. For the population of teachers who predicted that they will use DLMs regularly was the CFI equals 0.971 and RMSEA equals 0.10, and for the population of teachers who predicted that they will not use DLMs regularly was the CFI equals 0.972 and RMSEA equals 0.04. An overview of the unstandardized path coefficients resulting from the Hayes analysis and the SEM analysis are shown in Table 7 for comparison of the values of both mediation analyses. The difference between the values from both analyses do not differ greatly. Table 7. Comparison of the values of the unstandardized path coefficients from the Hayes analysis and the SEM analysis. Conclusions and discussion. The main research question addressed in this study was, do perceptions of success in using DLMs regularly during classes in the past year strengthen teachers' behavioral intentions to use DLMs again on a regular basis in the coming year? To answer this research question, teachers' flows were first analyzed using Crosstab's multinomial logistic regression. These flows designated the relationship between teachers 1, who had perceived some degree of success of actual using DLMs regularly during classes in the past year, or 2, who had no intention at all in the past year to use DLMs, and how they flow into three ordered categories of different strengths of the behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year. The unit of analysis was either the group of teachers or the individual teacher. The variable self prediction was used to distinguish the group of teachers that predicted that they are going to use DLMs on a regular basis from the group of teachers that predicted they were not going to use DLMs on a regular basis in the coming year. The results indicated that teachers who had experienced various degrees of success using DLMs in the past school year showed stronger or corresponding behavioral intentions to use DLMs regularly again for the case that their self-prediction was positive. This also applied to teachers who had no intention at all to use DLM regularly in the past year. They now had a moderate or a no to weak intention to use DLMs regularly in the coming year. For the case that the self-prediction was negative, teachers had accordingly a much weaker intention to use DLMs regularly again in the coming year. That is, for the Crosstab's analysis, the teacher flows were in accordance with the expectations, and for the multinomial logistic regression, these flows were weaker than expected. Furthermore, the multinomial logistic regression, but not the Crosstab's, showed for both cases deviating behavioral intentions of what was expected, but these were in the minority. As a result, it was concluded that hypotheses H1A, H1B, and H1C were confirmed. After the determination of the teacher's flows, the effect of perceived success on the behavioral intention to use DLMs regularly again in the coming year was investigated using the reasoned action approach. It was also investigated whether this effect was mediated by attitude, perceived norm, and perceived behavioral control, and whether a direct effect could be determined. The analyses with the Hayes process method indicated that for the case where the self-prediction was positive, both attitude and perceived norm mediated the effect of the perceived success on the behavioral intention, but that these effects diminished when self-prediction was negative. The results of the SEM analysis confirmed this conclusion. With respect to attitude, this result was somewhat surprising. Indeed, previous research has indicated that attitude is a crucial variable in the formation of a behavioral intention under different conditions. We believe that our choice for using a proxy for attitude did underrepresent the attitude construct, and this caused the surprising results. With respect to perceived norm, the result was less surprising, as much research has shown an unimportant role of perceived norm when it comes to the forming of a behavioral intention. A direct effect was also seen for both cases of a positive and negative self-prediction. The results of the SEM analysis further indicated that perceived success explained 0.44 and 0.31 of the variance in behavioral intention for respectively a positive and negative self-prediction. Based on these results, it was concluded that the hypotheses H2A and H2B were confirmed for the case of a positive self-prediction but not for the case of a negative self-prediction. Hypothesis H2C was confirmed for both cases of self-prediction. In conclusion, although individual teachers did not show a stronger intention when teachers perceived success in using DLMs regularly in the past school year, they did, however, maintain a behavioral intention that was in accordance with the degree of perceived success for the case of a positive self-prediction. But in the case of a negative self-prediction teacher, results showed a weaker behavioral intention to use DLMs again on a regular basis. However, there were teachers who showed a behavioral intention that was unexpected. The current research has some limitations. Using a proxy for attitude was possibly underrepresenting the attitude construct. Our future research, therefore, will use the common way to measure attitude. Fishbein and Adjson suggested to use bipolar scales for measuring attitude. Another limitation concerns the population of teachers. Only Dutch teachers participated in the research. Teachers use of ICT, and in particular, DLMs is not a case that only matters the Dutch situation, but it is a concern that is shared with all other countries over the world. Moreover, situations may differ from country to country. Finally, the current research was cross-sectional, and consequently, it is not possible to determine the causal sequence. Longitudinal research in the future should give more insight in the causality in the relationships between perceived success, self-prediction, and behavioral intention. For the educational practice, this research stipulated the importance of teachers to get a chance to experience success with the use of DLMs during their lessons. School leaders, therefore, should support and encourage the use of DLMs by teachers and take care of their ICT professional development. Professional development programs should guide the experiences with DLMs in such a way that success experience is more guaranteed. For example, scaffolding the teacher's use of DLMs from simple to more complex. School leaders should also be aware that teachers experimenting and using DLMs will not become demotivated due to an insufficient and unreliable ICT infrastructure. Unsuccessful experiences led to no or weak intentions. Furthermore, school leaders should take care that there is a balance in the workload of teachers, so that competing task demands will not severely limit teachers' decisions to use DLMs in the near future, which is reflected in their self-prediction. Even the most motivated and skillful teachers may not use DLMs if there are too many other tasks that have to be done under time pressure. By encouraging DLMs use in a supporting environment, more perceived success can be expected, with the consequence of more DLMs use and again more perceived success. Getting this process started, however, is a careful designed process which actually begins at the teacher training institutions. These institutions are responsible that DLM use become part of the teacher's repertoire. Only when all these considerations are taken into account, will we see teachers' willingness to use DLMs on a regular basis grow. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. Goodbye.